Welcome to City of God, a podcast of the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Dr. Owen Strand, and I'll be your host. Join us each week as we engage the city of man with the biblical wisdom of the city of God. What exactly do we mean when we say that Donald Trump, on his 2000 video that recently drew intense media coverage, was engaging in locker room talk with his friends? What does locker room talk mean? Many folks followed the story of Trump's video and the uproar it caused not long ago. There's been a great deal of press coverage, and there have been many stories written and many response pieces authored regarding Trump's incredibly crude and offensive language. I've written one for the Center for Public Theology that you can check out on our website. There are many other good pieces that you could consult as well. But beyond what Trump actually said in his 2005 video, I want to zoom out and ask, what exactly does it mean in American public life that there would be this expectation that men can engage in locker room talk, there's that phrase again, such that they demean women, they speak about women in basically exclusively sexual terms, they talk about essentially manhandling women. Is this locker room talk? Is this acceptable speech for men in 2016? I raise this issue because many people today actually do think that men are idiots. Men can't behave themselves. Men are going to only sexualize women and not be able to conduct relationships in a meaningful and dignified way with women. You could say it this way: expectations for men are at an all-time low in American culture. It's just expected that when we get together, apparently by some it's expected, we're only going to demean, debase ourselves, and in effect, rob ourselves and others of dignity. I want to make a counter case to what at least many folks said in response to the unveiling of this awful video by Donald Trump. I want to make very clear first that yes, it is true that some do talk wickedly, both men and women. You can tune in to your average comedy special on Netflix or Amazon Prime, and you can find comedians saying things that absolutely peel the paint off the walls. That's very true. There's all kinds of terrible discourse out there today, and a ton of it is sexual, a ton of it is demeaning, and it does not uplift or upbuild us. It tears people down, it debases, it objectifies, it stereotypes. And guess what? It's incredibly popular. There are comedians who are currently making millions and millions of dollars who are saying things that, frankly, are not that dissimilar from what Donald Trump did say in his video. Am I in any way justifying that kind of language, that kind of speech? No, I am not. I am not at all. I am simply trying to say we are swimming in the midst of a sexual revolution, one that has been unfolding in America for decades now. And this revolution has definitely cheapened American discourse, and it has caused many men to think that they can objectify and demean women without consequence. It has also caused many men to think of themselves as boys and goofballs and even idiots and those who have no expectation of moral behavior. So yes, there are, in point of fact, those who engage in what Trump and his defenders called locker room talk. But here's what we need to say as well. Secondly, this is not true manhood on display. This is fake manhood that we're witnessing in this 2005 video with Trump and Billy Bush. Men of God follow the true man. We follow the true man, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the truest man that ever lived. If you can imagine the ideal man, the ideal guy, Jesus Christ was that. There was no sense in which Christ was inadequate. There was no sense in which Christ didn't measure up to the true mark of a man. Jesus Christ was exactly what a man was created to be by God the Father. When he came in the flesh in his incarnation, he showed us what it means to be, at least in part, a man. That's not to say, of course, that women can't learn from his example. They absolutely can. He came to draw his people to himself, and he did. He succeeded in that mission. He made atonement for their sins. He now sits at the right hand of the Father on high after his resurrection and ascension. So Jesus is alive today. The true man is alive today, and the true man is actually what should condition our understanding of manhood. Why do I raise this? Because we need to see that it's not just being a guy to speak of women in a demeaning and profane way. If you really want to be a man and talk about women, you talk about them in the way that Jesus Christ and his apostles talk about women. You think of how the apostle Paul entreats his readers to treat women as sisters with absolute purity. That is a standard once and for all time given to men. Any woman who is not your wife is to be treated just like your sister. You would not treat your sister in an impure way. You would treat her with purity and kindness and love and gentleness and dignity. And that is exactly how the Apostle Paul calls us to treat women, calls us men to treat women. And that is exactly how Jesus Christ himself modeled manhood in his interactions with women. The issues with Donald Trump that I've briefly touched on here show us where we are as a culture regarding manhood. We are in a very bad place today with men. We find ourselves in a situation where one of two candidates for the most important political office in the known world is on record speaking of women in the worst possible terms, and many people, including a good number of evangelicals and self-described Christians, defend his speech. They defend his conduct. They give apology for this behavior. When we see that taking place, we have to recognize that we are, as I said a minute ago, we are at a very low point when it comes to manhood in American culture. And here is our call today. Our call today as Christian men, and in particular, I'm thinking of leaders here, our call today is to model a better manhood, one that is shaped not by the culture, but by the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace puts our sin to death in a Colossians 3 sense. The gospel of grace opens our eyes to the beauty of womanhood. The gospel of grace enables us to see that we are actually called, in an Ephesians 5 sense, to lay down our lives for our wife, and by extension, for any woman we see who would be in a tough spot. You see, we want to be altogether unlike Donald Trump, and as fathers, we want to train our sons. We want to be pastors and leaders in churches who call young men to be the exact opposite of Donald Trump. See, there's something better than locker room talk. It's gospel-shaped talk. That's the kind of behavior, that's the kind of speech that Christian men engage in. We don't treat women as objects. We treat them as sisters with absolute purity.
Thanks for listening to City of God, a podcast at the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. We're so thankful you stopped by. We encourage you to continue to join the conversation at cpt.mbts.edu, the official website of the center. And we encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well. Join us in coming days as we continue the conversation on what it means to be the city of God in the city of man.